Okay. All right. So good to be back. For those that listen out there, and I know we have some who are out here and listen, and others when they're not here, nothing was wrong. People will text and say, is everything okay? Did you have another ice storm and couldn't have church? Somebody sick? What happened? I was gone last week on a work trip. I appreciate everybody that filled in and stepped in. We can always count on people here, and you'll never know how much that I appreciate you doing that. But it's great to be back. Awesome to be back. And so 2 weeks ago, it was started right after July the 4th, the next week, we spoke about what we call the Declaration of Independence for Christians. And it was Romans 3. So if you want to turn there, it was Romans 3, 23 through 26. And we got through halfway through verse 25. So that's where I want to pick up today. I want to finish it. So Romans 3, 23 through 26. And so we said these verses here, as believers, could be our declaration of independence. And independence may be a bad word, because independent means you're independent from everything. And we're definitely not independent. We depend on God. So it's not that, but we have, this is our statement of Christian freedom, of Christian liberty. And if you wanted to say, okay, what is it? How did you get it? Why do you have it? What does it result in? It's all right here in a nutshell. In Romans 3, 23 through 26. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, do declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he may be made just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, you got it, as we read this, and you start saying, okay, what in the world is this saying? Okay, it starts to become real word salad. What's it saying? So we got through, like I said, and I'm not going to go back and review through the whole thing. You can listen to that, not because it's me doing it, but because we explained everything, what every word, every phrase. But so just a quick review, very quickly. So it starts out, for all have sinned. So there's nobody around that. We all have. I'm no better than anybody else. That doesn't make me any difference. Doesn't make Billy Graham or Jerry Falwell or Adrian Rogers or anybody else any different. Everyone has. Nobody escapes around that. So, and not only we've sinned, we've come short of the glory of God. So I know this. What I would want to be as a Christian, and it's frustrating at times, because I put so much pressure on myself, on everything it seems like, that I want to do that, but I don't, and I can't. I'll never reach, even as a Christian, to be the kind of Christian that I want to be. None of us will, because we're in the flesh. It's impossible, because we don't want to make mistakes. We want to be perfect. But even as Christians, we come short, right? Now, it said being justified freely, because now we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We're all under judgment of God. But we were justified freely. Justified, just as we have never sinned. If you're a Christian, that's how God sees you. He doesn't see anything in your past. He doesn't see things where you've come short right now in the future. He sees you as just as you never sinned. Okay? And it was done freely. You didn't have to pay for it. You don't have to work your way to it. You don't have to give $1 million. You don't have to go to church every time the doors are open. None of that. Being justified freely, how? How did God see me as that? Through his grace. Through his grace. Through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, your grace and your mercy, I just can't explain it. You're so good to me, much better than I am to you, and you just continue to bless me and be good to me. And if nothing else, If nothing else, if I had the worst life you could imagine, if nothing else, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and paid that penalty for sin that I do not have to pay. If nothing else. So that's what it's saying. And his grace goes far beyond that in every stretch of our lives. But through that, we have been redeemed. Redeemed. We've been bought back. So when Adam and Eve sinned, the whole human race was estranged from God. And a price had to be paid to get us back. And what animal sacrifice wasn't enough. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he bought us back. It was Jesus Christ, nobody else. No other way you could be saved. So that was done through his grace. Okay? Now, that's why he sees us the way he does. Whom God has set forth, Jesus Christ has set forth to be a propitiation. So what does propitiation mean? He was the substitute. He was the sacrifice. No more animal sacrifice. My sins, your sins, he bore on the cross. He took our sins, all of us. Okay? He was the perfect sacrifice. Through faith in his blood. So I put faith in him being on that cross, being that substitute, being the sacrifice for my sins, I put faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. I put faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, in his blood. Okay? I heard Elon Musk say this. Somebody had put on social media, he owns Twitter, changed it to X, that he could have such a bearing, such a presence in this world that they were really praying that Elon Musk would become a Christian. He could do so much good. And he said, I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Well, believing in the teachings of Jesus Christ is not enough. Believing that I need to be good to my neighbor, or I need to turn the other cheek, or I need to do good for evil, all that, that's good. It would make a better world, but it won't save. Paul says clearly, faith in his blood. I have put my faith in Jesus' death on the cross, and I trust that to save me from my sins, and I trust that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Okay? Now, that gets us to where we are now. Okay, in verse 25. So there are going to be some things. I'm not going to discuss the terminology as much here. This is going to be about the practicality. And I'm going to say some things here that probably be a little bit controversial, but I want you to hear them through because I believe so much in Jesus, in the grace. Okay? So verse 25 is where we're going to start. To declare his righteousness. Okay? The faith if we put in his blood declares his righteousness. God forgave sins without payment. He asked nothing in return except that we believe. We don't have to work it. There's nothing. He said, I did this, so man, you're just going to have to slave the rest of your life to repay this back. There's nothing he could ask for. It would have been too great. But he didn't ask for that. Okay? Our righteousness, our holiness, our right standing in ours is filthy rags. We are under Christ's righteousness, not ours. Okay? When God sees us and we go to judgment, he will see us covered in Jesus' blood. Jesus died for our sins. I'm under Christ's righteousness. I can never be good enough. We're covered in his blood, which causes God to see us as Christ's righteous, not ours. Okay? So declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. So what is remission? Remission is to pardon an offender, overlook an offense, or remove a debt. Okay? So he pardoned us of our sins, our trespasses, our transgressions. He removed a debt that I could not repay when he died on the cross. It's done through Christ's blood, and it's done only once. There's no more animal sacrifice over and over. So back in Israel, when they would sin, we talked about it, you'd go get your animal, you'd go to the high priest, they'd offer a sacrifice. Poor animals, that's all I know. Because It was just over and over and over and over. And I've heard Les Feldick say, the high priest back then was no a butcher, basically. That's all he did, was kill animals. Okay? For the forgiveness of sins. And it was just temporary. Okay? Jesus did not have to die over and over and over. One time. He did it right. He was the perfect sacrifice. It was done perfectly. Now, here's where we're going to get into some things. I think we can all agree, but now we're going to get into some stuff, all right? So declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Okay? So, some will look at that, many will look at it and say, my mom and dad will look at it and say, your past sins are covered, but not your current sins and your future sins. Only your past sins. And they will go to this verse. Okay? Now, I had somebody you all would know ask me, he said, I've got, and he doesn't go to church here, he said, I've got one problem with what you believe. And he said, what's that? And he said, you believe that you don't have to ask for forgiveness or ask for confess your sins or any of that after you're saved. And I said, no, you never heard me say that. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. I've told you guys, it seems like every prayer, every prayer I start with is like, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm going to say this. The confession of sins, we said, John says we have an advocate, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't think that would be necessarily what we would have to do for our salvation. I think that makes us a better Christian. I feel like if I went out and said, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and that's it, I think I would be taking grace advantage of it. I would be taking advantage of the Lord and what He's done for me. Okay? I think it would really hurt my walk as a Christian. It would hurt my effectiveness and my rewards that I'll get one day in heaven. I think it would hurt that. I don't think it would hurt my salvation. Okay? I'm going to go into this here. Some will disagree. That's fine. But while we're on this verse, I think this is very important. Now, what's it mean when it says of sins that are past? This is not talking about our individual sins. This is talking about the Old Testament believers. Sins that are past. The Old Testament believers went to the grave, the Bible says, looking for that hope of the Messiah. There was no price yet paid for that. Jesus Christ stepped in the gap, and we know that He went back to show Himself to those individuals that I'm the Messiah. Okay? So this is not our past sins. This is Israel's covenant debt that was left unpaid until the blood of a better covenant came along. So what happened? We've always wondered, what happened to these Old Testament individuals? To people of Israel. They had the covenants. They had the law. They had the Ten Commandments. They had the animal sacrifice. They had all that. But Jesus hadn't come yet. He hadn't died on the cross. What happened to those people? Okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And not only do I want to look at that, I want you to have full confidence in your security as a Christian. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 15. Hebrews 9, 12 through 15. Now, the writer of Hebrews, whether it be Paul or whether it be one of his disciples, Hebrews tells you right there who he's writing to. This is not to the body of Christ. This is to not even Jewish believers. These are for people. Paul was Jewish. He came out of that faith And a lot of this is to them who had not accepted Christ as Messiah yet and saying, look, there is a better way than what you have. The temple's still wide open. It's not AD 70 yet. They're still going through the rituals. They're still going to the priests. They're still going animal sacrifice. And he's saying, there is a better way. All right? So Hebrews 9, 12 through 15. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. So what are we talking about? They were sacrifices, right? But by his own blood entered in once into the holy place. Jesus' blood was the perfect sacrifice done one time. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. We're saved through this. Eternal redemption in heaven with Christ, right? For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. So that what you're saying, okay, I sin, they offer this sacrifice, and I'm in good standing just for a little bit until it's time for the next sacrifice. But I've got all these, I'll go out and sin the next couple of minutes. I'll think something I shouldn't think. I'll say something I shouldn't think. You know, Franklin and I were driving down the road the other day. We were talking about how our parents believed and we both grew up in church. Franklin and I both had a drug problem growing up. We got drugged to church every time doors was open. Right, Frank? So we were talking about it, and he said, when did your, he said, your mom and dad believed they could lose their salvation, didn't he? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, and you didn't have to kill anybody to do it either. You know, you could, by the time we pass this cornfield, buddy, you could be lost driving in a car. You could lose it that quickly over nothing. Okay? So, it says here, so we've offered that sacrifice, and we'd had to do it all the time back in the day. They said, so how much more, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What's that mean? So if animal sacrifice would save us for a little bit, how much more will Christ sacrifice avail? Okay? And it says it also cleans us from all these dead works that we have to constantly be perfect and we have to work our way. So you offer the sacrifice and then your works better be perfect. Okay? And he's saying that's no longer the case. Those works are dead. Your works, it's all God's grace now. It's Christ on the cross. Your works are dead. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. Now that's big. What? He's not talking about the New Testament that we think. We've got New Testament in our Bibles, Matthew 1. He's not talking about that. Paul didn't have, or whoever wrote this, there was no New Testament during his time. That was later on. Hundreds of years later. There's no Bible. He's not talking about Matthew through Revelation. The New Testament. What is the New Testament? He mediated the New Testament to Israel. This is the new covenant. Christ is enough. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. That was what was mediated to Israel. That's the New Testament to them. And I'll show you how. Okay? By means of death, for the redemption of transgressions, Jesus died to redeem us from our sins that were under the First Testament. Well, if there's a New Testament, there's got to be a First Testament. Well, what was the First Testament? The law, sacrifice, the oracles, the commandments. That was the new one. And he said, you're not under that anymore. So don't take this and look at some of these things and say, this is to us as Christians. This is to the body. We weren't under a First Testament. Paul says you were without hope because you were apart from Israel. up until Christ died, until Paul, up until that real New Testament, we had no hope because we weren't of Israel. You had to go through Israel to be saved. I've told you time and time again, we've grown up, you grow up listening to stories, David and Goliath, and you said, boy, we showed that Goliath. We didn't show him anything. We were on Goliath's side. We were in Israel. We were the nations, right? So we were under that first testament. They that are called might receive the promise of internal inheritance. Israel. Okay? So that's speaking to him. So you say, why did you go to this verse? I want you to understand that the sins that are past, and people will look and they'll say, you're only forgiven for your past sins, and that's not it. That's not at all what he's talking about. He is speaking about Israel, who had, with their covenant, did not have a clean slate, did not have an answer to forgiveness of sins. And it was temporary, it wasn't permanent, until Christ died on the cross. Okay? He's talking about the Old Testament believers, not our past sins. It doesn't say our past sins. It says sins that are past. Israel's covenant debt was left unpaid until the blood of a better covenant came along. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm sorry. Turn back one chapter. Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 8. It's going to talk about the same thing. It's talking to the same people. Okay? Like we always say, you've got to look and listen. Who's saying it and who they're saying it to. There's a big difference. Okay? Because we look at this and we say, uh-oh, some of these, they're talking to us. There's a difference in what Israel had and what we have in the body. It's different. So Hebrews 8, 6 through 8. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator, Christ, of a better covenant. Now, you remember verse 15 of what we just read? It said, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. In verse 8, he said, he is the mediator of a better covenant. Now, I had the discussion. David Hastings and I have talked about it. I brought it up in his church. David knows what I'm talking about. With a pastor here in this county who is a very hardcore Calvinist. And he believes that we as the church are under Abraham's promises. That they're out. That's to us now. Israel's out. The church took all that. And he said that we took, when that covenant was made with Abraham, God couldn't break a covenant. Abraham broke it, so Abraham's out. Okay? I told him, well, I'd hate to know who took it after I broke it. You know, was Abraham, I'm more holy than Abraham? So, the covenant that was made between God and Abraham is still there for Israel. Okay, and they'll take this stuff here, and it is never talking to the body of Christ. It's Israel. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. What Hebrews is all about. Christ, what you have now is the Messiah. It's better than the old system you had, the animal sacrifice. It's better. Better, 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 better. It's used in Hebrews. I don't tell how many times that the word better is in Hebrews. Now, why are you saying this? Why are you talking about this today? Remember, we said sins that are past is what are forgiven. And I want you to see it's not talking, that's not talking to you. You're forgiven. Okay? you're not going to have, you don't have to worry that you do everything perfectly if you've been saved. That's where I'm trying to get to. Okay? Verse 7. For it was the first covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So if that first covenant that was given to Abraham, animal sacrifice, your works, all that, if that was good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But it wasn't good enough. Okay? Human nature's not going to change. We're flawed people. The best of us are flawed. I don't care what you've done. The best of us are flawed, and that first covenant was not good enough to take care of that. All right? Christ is. Right? Now, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with who? The Wayne County Bible Center? First Baptist Church? Huh? This guy that says we took the covenants of Israel? No. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay? The covenant, when Christ died, that is the new covenant with Israel. Okay? There's something better than a temporary animal sacrifice. Okay? Turn to Hebrews 13. I want you to see what he's saying to Israel, and then I want you to see what he's saying to us. And remember, the whole time I'm thinking, he's forgiven us for sins that are past, or that's what a lot of people read it, and that's it. So then you're like, oh Lord, what am I going to do going to heaven? That's all that's been forgiven. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Anytime he's talking to the sheep, who is he talking to? The lost sheep house Israel. Lost sheep. He doesn't talk to the body as the lost sheep. The lost sheep's always Israel. Okay? And it says, the great shepherd of the sheep, through his blood that he shed, they now have an everlasting covenant. The Bible says there's no difference. Gentile, Jew, whoever. It's not temporary. We're all in the body of Christ, and Christ has shed his blood and died for all of us, that now we have a perfect sacrifice. We have something that's complete. We no longer have to do all this temporary sacrifice and this temporary forgiveness and all that. Okay? Now, go back to Romans and look at verse 25. Now we're going to start talking to the body a little bit. And I'm going to make this case. Every sin that you will ever commit from here on out is already forgiven. Okay? I mean, if we're going to believe in grace, let's believe in grace. Every sin, I'll say it again, that you will ever commit has already been forgiven. Now, I need to, as a Christian, to be the best Christian I can be and show that I'm really serious about this thing and I want to be a good Christian. I need to have, that's that relationship with God that you have that one-on-one, that relationship that, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like this. I'm sorry I did this. I don't want to do that. I'm sorry. But the beauty of it is you have that relationship. He's already forgiven you of it. I can't explain grace. If you said explain it, I can't explain it because grace is so much greater than I can comprehend. It's not human grace. I can probably forgive so far. Okay? But God can just forgive infinitely. Okay? No matter how short we come up. So, it says in verse 25, I think it is, through the forbearance of God. What is the forbearance? God waiting until the cross to settle Israel's debt. Remember, we're still on the subject here of sins that are past. God settled Israel's debt once Jesus died on the cross. Forbearance means holding back, delay, or temporary suspension of a punishment. Israel was going to be under God's punishment. But he held off until Christ went to the cross. And then now Jesus forgives us. All our punishments have been. We don't have a punishment now, if you believe. Somebody may say, you know, I'm afraid that I blasphemed. I'm afraid that I used to think this stuff. I'm a teenager, older teen, and you know how teenage boys are. They're into everything. And I can't be saved. I can't do it. I can't, because I keep doing it. I can't be saved. I can't do this stuff. I blasphemed. The only thing God won't forgive is you not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. A lack of faith. He can forgive everything else. Now, the thing is, like I said, he's not sending you to hell because of that. You didn't. It's already there and you didn't accept it. Like I said, there's a way out. And he's not pushing you into it, away from it. There's a way out, and you've got to accept that. Okay? Now, so I'm going to say it again. All our sins as grace age believers are covered. Turn to Colossians 2. Now, Paul's going to talk to the body. So why does Hebrews say sins that are past, and Paul's going to say all? Colossians 2, 13-14. I just want you to know that you don't have to walk around eggshells. That you don't have to say, Lord, or that you don't know what I've done. You know, God's grace is greater. I want you to understand that. No matter what, God's grace is great. I want you to have, when you leap, I don't care what your situation is. We all have different situations. I want you to understand, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have security. Spiritual security. Colossians 2, 13-14. And being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. They're right there. Flag goes up. He is totally. It matters. Some of these words you may read over and you say, well, it's just, you're not even going to think about it. Who is Hebrews talking to? Hebrews was talking to, you've got the covenants, you've got the oracles, you've got all. That's clearly Israel. But who's he talking to here? Being dead, not only was I dead because of my sins, the uncircumcision of my flesh. I was not Jewish. I was not of Israel. That's who he's talking to here. It didn't. David says you could have been perfect if you lived 2,000 years ago, but even if you were, you were not under God's covenant because you were not of the fleshly circumcision. You were not of Israel. Okay? Pagan. So, the uncircumcision of your flesh was just as important as your sins. Now, but all of that hath he quickened together with him, made alive. So, not only sinners, but non-Israel, having forgiven you your trespasses that are past, right? Nope. A-L-L. All trespasses. All. I told you, I can't put it into words. I would do a horrible job explaining it to somebody, and we all would, because it's beyond our imagination. that Christ loves us so much that whatever we've done in our lives, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, He forgives us no matter what. I can't explain it. And somebody could ask me about that, you know, what, maybe come up with extreme hypotheticals, and I'd do an in-depth job of explaining it. All I know is God's grace is greater than I can ever imagine. No matter who you are, what you've done, what situation you're in, God's grace is greater. And what's it say? Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us. There's a gospel song that I love, Crystal Lewis sung back in the 90s, called Bloodstained Pages. And it talks about going to judgment and all the sins that we've done. And they open the books and they can't find it. Why? Because the pages with our sins are covered in Christ's blood. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. It's an emotional song. When I think of what all I've done, how bad I've been, how short that I've come, but Christ's blood's greater. Which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Man, that's beautifully put. No matter what I've done, Christ nailed it to His cross, and the cross is greater. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 5. So do you believe when you're saved, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or do you think Jesus just God holds off? Well, let's hold on for about 20 years and see. And then, you know, you do good for about 20 years, Judy, we'll write him in there. Right? So Revelation 3:5. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life. What else do you need? I will never blot it out. Put that in ink. Underline it, circle it, highlight it. But I will acknowledge that name before my Father and His angels. Never blot it out. So I get to thinking, I'm reading this last night, and I'm like, okay, is this, are we going back to Israel talk here? Is this Old Testament? So is your name back in the day, if you were in the Old Testament and you believed you were put in the Lamb's Book of Life, but this doesn't go for us now? So turn to Philippians 4:3. This goes for all. So the same thing, and here's the interesting thing. Paul didn't get this from reading Revelations, or John didn't get this from reading Paul. Like I said, there's no Bible. So they didn't go, Paul didn't go on Amazon, order the Holy Bible, you know. They said, boy, I tell you what, before I better make some of these statements, I better see what John says so I make sure we don't contradict. It's amazing to me that they don't cross paths here. And it's a different time and a different place, and they're saying the same terminology. And John's uneducated. Paul was educated. John was uneducated. He's a bishop. Okay, so Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee, and so he's talking about the people that have helped him in his ministry. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with fellow laborers, here we go, whose names are in the book of life. Those were not people of the Jewish faith. Those were Gentiles as he starts the church in Philippi and these other places. And he's just talking to common people like Judy and like Cleo and like David. These are people that have helped me in my ministry, and their names are in the book of life. And what does he say in Revelation? His names will never be blotted out. You're in, you're in. Okay? Now, turn to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews 9. For a second. We're going to read from Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. Now, there's a couple of things, like we said, there's a difference, a little bit of difference here in what Paul says and what some of the others say, the Hebrews writers. But I want you to see here that there's some things that carry over that are universal. So Hebrews 9:26. This goes for all of us. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, so he suffered to save us, everybody from the start. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin. You say, well, there's still plenty of sin going in the world. Yes, there is. But he has cured our sin problem that we cannot go to heaven and have a constant relationship with Jesus Christ. He put that away by going to the cross. That's the sin problem that we can't have an eternity with Jesus because of the way we act and what we do. Go on forward one chapter, verse 10. Or excuse me, chapter 10, I'm sorry. Verse 14. Go up to chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering, what's that offering? He went to the cross one time. He has perfected forever them who are sanctified. That brought into a new covenant relationship. And that's talking to Israel there. That's talking to, they constantly had to go offer sacrifices over and over. He says, no, one time, and now you're perfected. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're spiritually mature. But you're perfect in God's eyes spiritually because you've been covered by the blood. So are we. I'll tell you what, if he could see that in me, he could see that in anybody. I'm telling you, man. There's time. I heard a buddy of mine talking about another buddy of mine, and he was really good at what he did with his job. And he said, you know something? If you were around him at work, you would say, man, this guy is buttoned up. This guy's a real deal. He said, but once his job's over, you'd say, what in the world's wrong with him? Okay? And he'd probably say that about me on both sides. You'd be, what in the world's wrong with David? You know? But it says, imperfected. He's perfected, but not the way I act or what, but I've been covered in the blood. Okay? Now, verse 20, go back to Romans 3. We're closing up. Verse 26. I got about two or three more things. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Verse 26 in Romans 3. And I want you to look at the wording. And it might slip by and you might not even think about it. So what was our verse? Sins that are past. Okay? Well, what about the present? The perfect present. Right? Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time. Ken, when's this time? Right now? I hope it is. You were confused. You couldn't have. So. Oh, yeah, it's hearing aid. Ken's hearing aids now. Yeah, he's not got his hearing. I think Ken turns his hearing aids off till I get done. And then he turns it back on. All right. So declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Right now, Christ's righteousness that covers me, his blood that covers me right now is greater. I don't have to worry about sins past or now. I'm covered. Okay? That he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. God is just. He is righteous. He is the justifier. So if he's righteous by what this says, He's declaring us as righteous. Not my righteousness. My righteousness is a filthy rag, but I'm covered in the blood. Christ's righteousness of me, which I can't explain, which I didn't earn, which I don't deserve. Okay? If you just looked at it from afar and looked at the way we're flawed, the way we live from minute to minute, screw that whole thing up. But Christ righteous, he is the justifier. If you do what? Believe in Jesus. Okay? You must believe in Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other way. No other religion. No other way to it. No work. You must believe in Jesus. Okay? Now, look back at verses 21 through 23. Same verse, Romans 3. Christ is necessary, okay? He already says, who believe in Jesus. Now look at verse 21 through 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. So what's he saying? All this was law, this was prophesied. That the Messiah would come. Okay, Psalm 53, Isaiah 22. It was witnessed by the law and prophets. But now it's manifested, the law. Jesus was the law. Jesus came and everything the law could not fulfill, Jesus fulfilled. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, Jew or Gentile. This whole thing, well, he said this to Israel, but he says this to the body over here. We talked about this. Now he's saying, look, this is for everybody. There's no difference. This is, good luck trying to be a female and having this. Back, you, let me tell you this. Jesus and the church did more for women's rights than anything in history. When this says back then, you think about 2,000 years ago, man, woman, I mean, half the Roman Empire was slaves. And it says there's no difference. The bond and the free, there's no difference. That's revolutionary. That was unheard of. Okay? There's no difference. Why is there no difference? Verse 23, for all have sinned but come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Well, what's your defense for that? But now. All have sinned but now, boy, but's a great word. One T, not two. But is a great word. Thank the Lord for but. Now, look at verses 24 through 25. Grace. We've already read this. Being justified freely by His grace. Through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins in Israel's past through the forbearance of God. He waits. He put off the punishment. Now Christ has paid that price, and now there's no difference. We all have sinned, but if we believe, we can all be saved. And not can be, we are. In verse 26, faith is necessary. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. This is not performance-based. It is faith-based. You don't know what I've done. David, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how love goes. You have no idea. The cross is great. You have no idea how low. You have no, my past. The blood's great. The cross is great. You know, I've struggled with this, and I'm going to struggle with it going forward, and I fight it, and I fight it, and I fight it. Grace is great. Grace is greater moving forward. I'm telling you now, you keep that relationship, and I'm telling you, you talk to God and pray and ask God for help on things moving forward. You battle. But I'm telling you, God's already taking care of the future. God is already taking care of you, but you keep that relationship. You confess it. You go to God. God say, Lord, I've done this. I need your help. I want to be an effective Christian. That's my goal. That's what we all want. But you've got to understand, Jesus Christ, no matter what situation you're in, has paid the price for your sins and where you'll spend eternity, and he doesn't have to go back to the cross. One time only. I believe it enough that I would stake my eternity in heaven or hell based on this. I believe it that much, and that's the belief you've got to have. I heard an old Dean Martin roast one time, and Jonathan Winters was supposed to be Frank Sinatra's bus driver there. And he comes out, and he's this confused guy, and he's very indecisive, and it was one of his characters, and he said, well, Frank Sinatra's Roman Catholic, he said, I'm non-denominational. He said, I've joined about everything. I don't want to make nobody mad. So you don't have to go from here to there to the other place and wonder, well, I better join this church and get baptized here, and I better join this one. I know people who basically have done that because they're so insecure, they think they have to. Well, you better do it just in case I miss this one. Faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. He paid the price. It's enough for what you've done. It's enough for what you're doing now. And it's enough for the future. Martha Jo, if you'll come.